Good evening, class. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord. We thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. We're still talking about the fivefold ministry gifts. And so we're going to do tonight is start to break them out in the individuals. We talked about each one of them. We broke out into the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And what we said, we put the wrong end in the church today. We got the wrong end of the fivefold ministry gifts in place. And so we do that because these are earthly focused models that we're using. And what we want to go into the spiritual aspect, the way God set his government up from the beginning. As he told us in Isaiah 9 and 6, the thing that he said he was going to set the government up on his shoulder. And then he went into some scriptures telling us who we are and what we are to do. One of the things that we go back and look at that scripture, we're going to look at some foundational scriptures again, which I always try to do, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. It says, "Now therefore you are no more foreigners and strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." And what I'm trying to get you to see that what God is trying to do is restore apostolic government in the church as he set it up from the beginning. So if we hear it enough, then we can have faith for his government. Again, while we're in Ephesians chapter 4, we go over to 4. And we begin, I'm just going to read verses 11 through 13 in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." He goes on to tell us why he gave us these gifts. He said, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." It said, "Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." I keep saying that over and over because when we set up apostolic government, he's training people that's in the body of Christ to mature in the things of God so they can operate like Jesus did when he was here on the earth. And that's what apostolic government where the portals of heaven is open and the supernatural can operate through individuals. Let me give you some pointers here. It said, without the flow of grace from the apostles and the prophets, who are not only focused on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality here on earth. And again, you go back to, since we are citizens of the kingdom, it's built up on the foundation, again, of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And what the apostle Paul, he made a statement. Turn, while we're in Ephesians, I'm not going to go any further. Turn over to Ephesians 3 back. And again, I say God is restoring the apostolic to the church. At certain times and certain periods in time, God come along and he decide he want to do something differently. And he want to restore some things. So here in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verse 5, it says, let me read from verse 1 here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He said, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There you go again. And like I say, we have to get back to that point where the apostles and the prophets is in place so they can hear from heaven and again find out what heaven wants here on the earth. We are restoring the kingdom of God in the earth realm. The church itself is a, you know, and if when we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and looking at verse 27 and 28, turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 27. And again, he says, the Apostle Paul, in, when he began to minister to the Corinthian church, he said, brethren, I would not have you ignorant of spiritual things. That's the first thing he said in when he began to write this epistle to the Corinthian church. And when we get down to verse 27, he explains about the ninefold manifestation of the Holy Ghost. He talks about the natural body. He talks about how God has placed each member in the body as he sees fit. God is the one who is doing this. When we were talking about God reestablishing his kingdom, we talked about God himself is restoring, that the zeal of the Lord is going to perform this. So God, just remember, God is doing this. And we remember we told you that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. So what you knew about church government before, we want you to just sort of forget that those things that you knew about church government and take on the new, put in new wine into these new wine skins. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, government, and diversity of tongues. That was diversity of tongues. It's a prophetic anointing, and they bring things. You hear from heaven and begin to impart those things that he hear from heaven to the body of Christ. And so he's saying that, again, God himself set these gifts in the church. He set these gifts in the church for perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. We know that when Jesus walked the earth, one of the things he said in 1 John 3 and 8, he said he was manifested in the earth realm to destroy the works of the devil. So every individual, every member of the body of Christ, that's our destiny. That's where we're supposed to be going to, getting to that point. I keep showing it to you in the scripture. It says, and if the church at large continues in this way, in the way it's going, that's with earth-focused models, it will lead us to focus on what we know God has done in the past and miss out on what God is doing now. So by us coming in, sitting here, studying and learning about what God is doing right now at this particular time. God is constantly moving, but at this particular time, he's doing a new thing. And he's reestablishing his government in the earth realm so that the church, which is a entity, is more of a conduit for the body, for the kingdom of God to be manifested in the earth realm, for God to get his glory in the earth realm through the church. The church is we individuals. Every individual is the church. It's not these buildings that we come in to, get together and do ceremonies and do presentations, but the church is the individual, each and every individual that's part of the body of Christ. We are the church. We are to go out into the world and implement the kingdom of God in the system. So that's the purpose of our training. That's why we're here. And so, again, we got it wrong, so we're going to get it right. It says, the fivefold anointing of the teacher. I'll go through that one first. We're going to go into each one of these fivefold gifts, and we're going to try to break them out individually. But we're going to talk about the teacher first, because that's what Jesus did when he was here on the earth. He was a teacher, and then he operated in all fivefold gifts. But it says the fivefold anointing of teachers, Jesus demonstrated by both preaching and demonstrating his message with miracles. And so if we're going to do it the way Jesus did, then we should be doing the same thing that he did. He demonstrated, he taught, and then he demonstrated. With miracles. Those who experienced his teacher were shocked by how different it was, how different his teacher was. When the Pharisees and Sadducees was coming along teaching, it was teaching something different. It was teaching the law. Jesus came along and began to teach and preach the gospel of the kingdom, and when he taught the gospel of the kingdom, he began to manifest what the kingdom of God was like. Turn to Mark Chapter 1, looking at verse 22. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, it says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. So when he began to teach the gospel of the kingdom, it was something different. He taught it different than what the scribes. So he taught it in, again, I mentioned last week that we think about the gospel, we think about authority, and we think about power. Not just authority, but also the power to accomplish that which God has called us to do. One of the analogies I gave on authority is, for instance, we have these sheriffs, policemen who direct traffic on a Sunday morning. When we get ready to leave, they come out and they begin to direct traffic. They have authority from the Ascension Parish Police Department to do that, but they do not have the power to stop a vehicle. If someone crazy coming down that interstate and they put their hand up, they have the authority to do it, but if that person want to just keep running through there, they don't have the power to stop it. But Jesus said, what I've done, I've given you authority to defeat the devil and also given you power to authority. So if he brings something on you, you have the authority to stop him and you also have the power to stop him. So that's what the gospel is about. Not just authority to do something, but also the power. You give us the power, implement the power to do and carry out these things of the kingdom. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Again, we're going to see it again. It says, verse 32, we begin reading at verse 32, Luke 4 and 32. That was after Jesus had took on his ministry. We know he had, in this particular chapter, he was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We know the enemy came and tempted him. We know that he came out and he defeated the enemy with his words. One of the things he said, he asked him if he was the Son of God. He said, take these breads and turn it to stone. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we know that, he came to him three times, but he said he left him for a season. And as he was going on, he took on in Luke 4 and 18, he took on his ministry. And on his ministry here in the earth realm, in Luke 4:18, he said, you know, one of the things he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Then we get over here in verse 32. It says, see, remember I said he's not only is he preaching, but he's also teaching and preaching and manifesting the kingdom in the earth realm. It says, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue, here's a demonstration. He said, and in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, for what we have to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And remember what he said in 1 John 3:8, what he came for? He came to destroy the works of the devil. This unclean spirit is in this man, so he had to eliminate it. The enemy know who you are. When you're operating in that which God has called you to be, even Satan knows who you are. You know, so what you've done, you've taken on that mantle. You've trained in such a way that you've taken on the stature of who Christ Jesus is. And so the enemy will know who you are. So he know if it's time for him to be defeated, he can look at you and know he's defeated already. And so you just do what you need to do and eliminate his works. And so, again, it says, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? Yeah, that's what he, I mean, he could answer, but he didn't answer. He said, I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. So he just told him to come out. He spoke to this devil and he came out of him. Again, let's look at one more. Let's turn to Matthew 7:28. It says, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Matthew 7. In Matthew 7:28, again, I'm talking about how we who are teachers, who are in the kingdom of God, we should be teaching with authority. We should be teaching with power. We should be manifesting the kingdom in the earth realm. Well, do we see it? No, not seeing it. So something, you know, we always have to go back to us because God has put his word out there and it should be manifesting it. So we have to continue to find out what it is. That's why we're maturing in the things of God so we can know how to operate in the kingdom as citizens of the kingdom. In Matthew 7, looking at verse 28, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, that was his sayings, these teachings, these teaching the individuals. It says, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Again, it said, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So he had authority to do something. He could speak it with authority, and he had power to eliminate that which he was teaching. It is different because unlike the other teachers, he taught them, again, with authority and power. Christ is a model that defines the ministry of teaching in his church, in his church. It's Christ Jesus' church. He told us that over in Matthew 16, where he said, turn over there, let's look at the scripture. Give you these addresses so you can always go back and look at it and see how, you know, as we see, we've heard these scriptures and we've seen them before, but we're going to see how it relates to what we're teaching and what we're learning right now. It says in Matthew 16, looking at verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? So what he was saying is, do you know who I am? I've been, you know, you've been walking along here with me. Yeah, I've been teaching you, but do you know who I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He says, anything that we receive from the kingdom must be, like Apostle Paul say, it was not taught to him by men, but it's been revealed to him by Christ Jesus. Well, anything in the kingdom of God has to come by revelation. It has to be revealed to us from heaven. And so, and the way revelation comes, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things which he's teaching us to us so we can know it. We can hear what the scriptures, we can read what the scriptures say, but unless the Spirit of God come along and reveal what he's saying to us, it's just words on a page. It has words with no spirit in it. And so we have to ask, find out from the Spirit of God, what are you saying to me? What are you revealing to me at this time? What it is that I have to do? And the way we do that is by going and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, reveal to me what he's saying to me at this time. And verse 16 says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, and Jesus answered him, said unto thee, he said, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And remember what I said the church is. The church is a conduit that we can get from the kingdom of heaven into our present day surrounding, into the environment which we are in. We are the church. God used individuals, the church itself, the individuals, to receive what is going on, what heaven wants here on earth, to manifest out in the earth realm. He said, and he goes on to say, he said, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. So we are to go out into Satan's kingdom and destroy his works. He's going to try to block us, but he said the gates of hell will not prevail against us. In our roles, in our duties, when we come to maturity, in the things of God, no matter what the enemy tried, roadblocks us, obstacles he tried to put in front of us, he said the gates of hell cannot prevail against us when we're on our jobs. And so basically, we who are in the church, again, we come to church on a Sunday morning. We come to church for 2 hours. We sit here. We get word. We get studied. But we never get a chance to go back and do that which God wants us to do. God wants to manifest his glory in the earth realm. He wants to find some individuals who are going to be obedient to what he tells them to do so he can set his kingdom government here on the earth and destroy the works of the devil. Not just from the pulpit, not just in the church. Most people do not, they come to church and they get born again, but we are to go out and bring people into the kingdom. That's the church. In our workplaces, out and destroy the works of the devil. Many of us, you know, there can only be one pastor in a church, so the rest of us, what are we doing? We're coming to church, we're getting fed, we're going out, getting fat, sitting back, doing absolutely nothing. And so we have to take this, which God is coming in, get recharged on a Sunday morning, and then from Monday to Wednesday, at least Monday to Wednesday, we're supposed to be going out manifesting the kingdom in the world system, and come back on Wednesday night, get recharged again, go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and destroying the works of the devil. That's the purpose of our training in this kingdom. He said, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's these fivefold ministry gifts working together, imparting what God is saying to us, imparting it to the body of Christ so we can go out and destroy the devil. Again, the implication of Jesus' teaching model is that unless we bring people into the tangible supernatural reality of the gospel, and I'm going to make this statement, it's going to cut a little bit. It says, we have no authority to teach it unless we bring it. We don't have this. Jesus had the authority to teach it, but he taught it with power and authority. If we're not bringing people to that tangible supernatural reality of the kingdom, then we have no authority to teach this gospel with Jesus. So that's why, again, Jesus had to be taught. He had to go back home. Even though when he was 12 years old, he went out, and even he was talking to lawyers and doctors, and they also was astonished at his teaching. But from the time he was 12 years old to the time he was 30 years old, so for 18 years, and submit to his parents so he could learn how to operate in the kingdom. Apostle Paul, even after he was called, over in Acts chapter 9, when he was knocked off of that donkey, he had to go out in that Arabian desert before he could go out and teach. He sat out in the Arabian desert for full revelation of the kingdom. And then once he got the revelation of what Jesus was telling him, then he could go out and teach individuals about the kingdom. He come in and then he wrote, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament, because God revealed to him what he wanted the people to know, the Gentiles to know about God. So again, I'm going to make that statement. And the implication of his teaching, of Jesus' teaching model, is that unless we bring people into the tangible, supernatural reality of the gospel, we have no authority to teach it. And so, again, turn to John chapter 15. In the scriptures, when they asked, Jesus asked who did they say he was, Jesus was trying to reveal the Father to them. He was trying to let them know exactly who he was and why he was doing what he did. So while you're here, turn over to John chapter 14 again. And I just want to read through this verse and so you can see something here. In John chapter 14, looking at verse 6. He was the example by which we should follow to operate in this kingdom. So here it is that Jesus in John 14, 6, Jesus said, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man coming unto the Father but by me. He told Philip, he told Thomas, he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. Philip asked the question, said again, this was one of his apostles, one of his disciples. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it suffices. He had been teaching, he had been preaching, he had been doing signs and wonders. But he wanted to find out, you know, show us the Father. Jesus said unto him, he said, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He was saying that I and the Father are one. He was telling Philip. He said, I and the Father are one. If you know who I am, then you know who the Father is. If we know who Jesus is, then we act like Jesus act, and then we act like the Father act. We come, we begin to destroy the works of the devil. So he goes on to say, watch what he says here. Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He said, believest thou not that I am the Father? I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, in me, he doeth the works. So he's saying that God himself in me, once he establishes government, Once we are mature, once we come to the fullness of the stature of who Christ Jesus is, and we submit to the kingdom government, then the same things that Jesus did while he was here on the earth, he said, verse 12 says, verily, verily, watch what he says. He said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, believe what? The things that I did while I was here, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works shall you do because I go unto my Father. He says, the works that I did when I was here, if I and the Father one, so you and the Father become one, and so we can do the same works. We go back and we can ask ourselves, are we doing the works that Jesus did when he was here on the earth? And so if we answer that question, it'll be in the negative. Because like I said, I was manifested in the earth realm to destroy the works of the devil. And so we have to be trained, we have to mature, and we have to grow up in the things of the kingdom of God. If the church at large has been using earthly models, which I told you before, we're using earthly models. We set up governments. We have CEOs. Then we have managements. We have district managers. And so we try the earthly government. And since we do, it's the same model, so we're going to get the same results. One of the things that God tells us in Romans 12, chapter 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to know what the will of God is for every situation. If we learn what the will of God is, then we won't set up our world system. As we set the world system government in the church, we're getting world system results. That means that everything that we get, all our results are natural results. We're not getting supernatural results. We should be getting supernatural results. We should be going through the fire and coming out unscathed. That's who we should be in this. Again, but the church at large has been using earthly models, using templates gleaned from earth governments in an attempt to replicate heaven. And so unless we John 3, unless a man can receive anything unless he receive it from heaven. So unless heaven gives it to us, and the apostles are attempting to hear from heaven, find out what heaven wants here on the earth, and bringing that here on the earth so it can manifest. John chapter 3. Let's turn there. I quote these scriptures, but I say I keep telling myself I'm gonna quit just quoting. I need you to see them so you can see them for yourself. John chapter 3. John 3 and 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Unless heaven gives it to him, then, he really can't receive it. I've talked about hearing and listening. Many times what we do, we hear words coming out of people's mouth. Are we listening to what they say? But we are not. My interest for you is to make sure that you're hearing what we're saying when we are trying to implement God's government in the church. These are not just words coming out of my mouth that you're hearing, that you're listening to. This is God himself wants to change it. He wants you to hear what he's saying. And when you hear what he's saying, you're going to act on what he's saying. See, when you hear something, you begin to do it. You're not just listening. When we listen to something, we write it down in our notebooks, and we throw the notebook in the corner, and we never go back and see it again. You're going to begin to act on it. You're going to begin to do it. And then God said, that's how I get my glory in the earth. I find an individual who's going to obey me again, who's going to obey me, who's going to hear what I say. Remember, Jesus always talked to his disciples, and he always asked them that question. He said, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to them. Hear. He knew they had ears because he could look out and see there was people, and most of the people had ears, and so he knew they had ears, but he wasn't talking about their natural ears. He was talking about their spiritual ears. He was talking about that you hear what the Spirit of God is saying so we can act, try to implement his supernatural government back in the earth realm. He wanted to set the kingdom in earth. When Jesus was coming along in the teaching, when he began his teaching ministry, one of the things he was teaching his disciples, how to operate in the kingdom. Make sure you operate from the kingdom. And so again, he says, verse John 3:27, I read it again. He said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. When we use other models, the church becomes no more than what people experience. And so the apostle said, when we come in service on Sunday morning, we should have our expectation so high that knowing that God is going to get ready to do something. When the word go forth, we should be expecting God to manifest himself. We should be expecting for his glory to manifest. We say that God inhabits the praises of Israel, but he was talking about Israel was his people. So he said, if God inhabits the praises of his people, when we come in service on Sunday morning, we begin to praise God, God shows up, then we should expect God to do something supernatural. God should be able to handle it. But since we've gotten so used to coming in a service and listening to singing and listen to somebody praise God and listen to someone preach the word, and then listen to the announcement and take an offering and get up and leave the service the same way we came to church. And as God want to reveal some things to us and do some things for us when we come to service. And so so our expectation when we come to church, we should be expecting God to do something. And so so because of the way the church has been set up over the period of almost 2,000 years, the church changed from the apostolic government to a man's government, where man began to set up a system of governments for the church to operate, and then somewhere along the line, we lost the supernatural operation of the kingdom, and God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same God, then what he did yesterday, he should be doing those same things today. Amen. He said, again, when we use other models, the church become no more than what people already expect from household government. That's on the foundation of leadership of the apostles and the prophets, according to Ephesians 2, 17-22. It says that, again, I can quote a scripture, say, you're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God built up on the foundation of the design allowed the body of Christ to be built up into a holy temple and ultimately becoming a dwelling place of God. Turn to Ephesians 2 again. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He said, now therefore you are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. A habitation. So if we are doing it right, then God come and dwell in us, just like us, in the earth realm. This design allowed the body of Christ to be built up into a holy temple and ultimately becoming a dwelling place of God. Many of the churches today has empowered the wrong portion of the list in 1 Corinthians 12 to be in the, he gave some apostles and some prophets, but he also say, and he 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, and God has set some in the church. He again, he said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. He said, after that, then miracles. First apostles, secondarily prophets. As we are learning and as we're teaching heaven, find out what heaven wants here on earth and manifesting that in the earth realm. One of the things that Jesus always taught us, and when he said, when we again go back to Matthew chapter 6, and he says, when you pray, you always pray to the Father which is in heaven. He's in heaven, our Father. Kingdom come. Kingdom come here on earth. Not in heaven, when we leave here, but his kingdom come here in the earth realm. And that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so if we are training properly, going to ask us to ask something if it would not happen. One of the things we see in scripture, as you know, we can go in and we can ask in the name of Jesus and it'll manifest itself. But one of the things it tells us, if we go over to 1 John 5 and 14, it says, and this is the confidence according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, then the petitions that we ask of him, we know that we have those petitions. 1 John 5 and 14, meditation scripture for this week. He said, if we know that he hears us, so his will ask him, Jesus, we can ask for him to manifest in the earth realm. We can ask that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so we ask him right. And we go to him knowing that he's going to answer us, if we know that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, then we know we're going to have the answer that we ask. So are we really asking? If we ask his will, then he's going to hear us. And if he hears us, then those things that we ask him for, we can get the petitions for those things. Again, the reason that we've set the wrong portion of spiritual reasoning is an earthly reason. We want to exalt ourselves, put ourselves in position. You know, God always calls. God calls an apostle and he sends him out to be apostle. He said, you've been called to be an apostle. And so then to accomplish his mission in the earth realm. Jesus' instruction taught us to long for heaven here on earth, to long for it. We want to see. I want to see God's kingdom manifest in the earth realm. I don't want to see it when I leave here and go on to be with the Father. I want to see it manifest while I'm in this, in my here, like Jesus did while he was here. He began to see the kingdom operate in the earth realm. He began to operate the kingdom in the earth realm. He said, we can do that. If it could not be done, then he would not have told us that we can do that. So he said, we're the long for 6 and 9, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Apostolic leaders are focused on heaven, and their mission is to see heaven's supernatural reality established here on the earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, the apostles themselves, we've gone on from the teacher, we talked about Jesus, but we're going to get more into the apostle. Since we are just learning about apostles, we're going to, in our next setting, we're going to get into some of the duties executed by an apostle, see exactly how the apostles operate. We're going to see how the impartation that's on an apostle will come off on the individual. If you're connected to that apostle properly. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Looking at verse 10. It says, the Apostle Paul said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereup on. And so he said, again, that's that foundation. The Apostle Paul came along, Jesus Christ laid the became the chief cornerstone. The apostle came along and built up on that foundation. They are trying to operate in his kingdom by building, letting them become sort of like subcontractors in the kingdom. He's the master builder. We who are being trained become subcontractors. God has anointed us to operate like the apostle did, and the same thing that they've come along and do the exact same thing. It says, along with this blueprint, the anointing of the apostle contains a quality that stimulates and draws to the surface the diverse anointings and people around him. Again, we're going to go back and we're going to look at some examples of how the people in the Bible, my waiters over in Acts chapter 6, how they took on that apostolic government and apostolic anointing and began to operate just like the apostles did when they was here on earth, and the apostle was acting like Jesus did when he was here. And so it always flows. It continues to example, and you do the example like I did it, then the results that I received when I was here, you're gonna get those exact same results. And so Jesus said, I laid the foundation. If you act like I did when I was here on earth, you do the same things I did, then the results that I received while I was here, you're gonna get those same results. If the apostle come along and it's on that foundation, and you're connected properly to that apostle, the results that he gets, the individuals that listen to him get the same results. As those around the apostle begin to manifest their own unique anointing, it creates an environment of subcontractors who help the master builder to. And so again, we are trying to create, give us blueprints of heaven with a manifest heaven here on earth. Yes, God's desire that we have heaven here on earth. And if you ever have an imagination of what heaven is, we can begin this group of people who manifest heaven here on the earth. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory. We thank you, Father, that we are no longer just hearers, but we become doers of the word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Meditation scripture again, 1 John